Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series talking about how to follow God's will. This is a five-part album, five-part teaching that I've got on how to follow God's will, and this follows up a five-part teaching that I did on how to find God's will. And we're now in the fifth and final teaching of this series entitled The Wisdom of God in a Mystery. I'm going to finish that up this week. And I really encourage you to get this because the things I've been saying, this is profound. It really is. This is what changed my life. I see this just transform people's lives. And it's amazing how few people know these just simple, very simple truths from God's Word about how to find and how to follow God's will. And then starting next week, I'm going to start on another five-part teaching entitled How to Fulfill God's Will. And I think that these three five-part teachings put together could just, make a huge difference in a person's life. It could literally change the course, the direction of your life. It's very powerful. So this is something that you need. And even if you've watched every day on television, you are just getting a small portion of what God has shown me and spoken to me. It's like an iceberg. You see just a very small portion above the water. Most of the bulk of that iceberg is below the water. And I'm only sharing just a, like skimming the top, the surface of the things that are in my heart. And so the point is that even if you've listened to every single program, you're just getting a small portion of the things that you really need to know about this. There is so much more. I just am not able to share everything that I know about this. And so you need to take this and go back over it and study it. I really believe that that is very important. You've got to meditate on these things until it becomes a part of you. And plus, another real benefit of getting the materials is that it allows you to share it with someone else. And every person needs to know this. This is something that is applicable to every single person. Now, yesterday I was sharing that there is this conflict between natural wisdom and spiritual wisdom. And you can even say that there is a conflict between what you would do from the Spirit, the born-again part of you, the part that has the mind of Christ, and what you would do if you just lean under your own natural way of thinking. You know, in a sense, this is hard for me to teach because this is such a huge subject. There are thousands of scriptures on this that when I talk about this, I want to bring all of these things to bear on it, and yet I got to move on. And even though it is so profound and clear in Scripture, this is probably one of the things that the vast majority of Christians do not realize. They just lean under their own way of thinking. They do things based on their own intellect instead of letting the Spirit of God lead them. And this leads to all kinds of problems. You cannot follow God's will if you are leaning under your own understanding. Now, I used a lot of scriptures to make that point yesterday. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 was saying that he was against the wisdom of this world. He didn't come just using enticing words and fancy speech, but he used the power and the anointing of God. He reached people on a heart level, not on a head level. And then he turned around and he says, "Yet I am using wisdom. It's just not the wisdom of this world." And he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 6, he says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Now, Paul here said he was speaking the wisdom of God that was in a mystery. Now, I could spend a lot of time on this, but let me just boil this all down and say it as succinctly as I can. This is just saying that these things aren't hidden from us, but they're hidden for us. God does not want His ways to be mysterious. As a matter of fact, see, the Apostle Paul even continues on. Let me use some of these verses. In verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." That's a quotation from an Old Testament verse. And see, Paul quotes that. And there's a lot of people that just take that out of its context and put a period right there and they say, oh, yes, we just can't know the ways of God. You know, God's ways are higher than our ways. That's another Old Testament scripture. And this says that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And they just put a period there and basically say that you can't know the things of God. You can't have the mind of Christ. You just have to go through this life muddling through, stumbling through the best way that you can and hope that somehow or another God makes it work out. That is absolutely wrong. What this is saying is that your eye, your ears, your natural mind, your physical ability cannot perceive the things of God. God is bigger than our peanut brains. That it is saying that, but see, it goes on to say in the next verse, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. This isn't saying that you can't know the things of God. This isn't saying that God's ways are so mysterious that we can't know them. It's just saying that you can't know them in your natural physical mind. You can't know it without the inspiration and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life, is what it's saying. In other words, this is just saying that men by themselves cannot discern or figure out or follow God's will, but through the Holy Spirit, you can. So this isn't just putting a period right here and saying we can't know the things of God. It's saying you can't know the things of God except through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he begins to start talking about how one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to give you revelation of God's will and help you to follow God's will. And he starts emphasizing how absolutely essential the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to you following God's will. So he says in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. In other words, this is saying that even as deep as you want to go with God, the Holy Spirit knows everything that there is to know about the Father. Of course, the Trinity, they are one. And the Holy Spirit will reveal these deep things to you. In verse 11, it says, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You cannot know God except through the Spirit of God. In the next verse, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Again, if you take all of this in its context, it is not saying that you can't know the things of God. It's just saying you can't know it through your own little peanut brain, natural way of thinking. But you can know the things of God through the inspiration and revelation of the Holy Spirit. In verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You, by your natural self, cannot understand God, the Word of God, the things of God, apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Boy, this is so important. This is so important. And again, this is where so many people miss following God's will, is because they're trying to figure it out in their own understanding. You know, I've got a million examples I could give you on this, but just let me take an example of people coming to our Bible college. I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of people who God revealed to them on a spirit level in their heart. They were drawn. This was their desire. They had peace about coming to school. They figured out that this was how God was leading them. And yet, then they started looking in the natural. Well, I've got to sell a house. What about my family? What about my kids? You know, I'd have to be moving away from my kids. I'd have to leave this job, and I don't have another job. And they just got into thinking with their natural mind and trying to figure things out. And I have seen many people that in their heart level, God was speaking to them, but they let their mind trump and take charge and try and figure out the things of God. And there's many of them that have not fulfilled what God told them to do. On the other hand, there's other people that in exactly the same way, God revealed to them at their heart level. They didn't know how it was going to work out, but they didn't lean unto their own understanding. They let what they were feeling in their heart dominate what they could think with their mind, and they followed their heart, and they've come here. And I remember a lady that when she first came to school, she actually was going to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I'm not sure I'm getting the terminology right. But anyway, she was going to a counselor in Richmond, Virginia. And this counselor had a bunch of my materials. Really good friend of mine, and she's just an awesome lady. And she says, you can either take these materials, read these books, listen to these tapes free, or you can come pay me $150 an hour or whatever it is, and I'll tell you what these things say. So anyway, this woman wound up taking my materials, got turned on. She was a divorcee. She had, I think, two or three really young kids. I mean, below the age of six or something like that. And she had no finances, just, I mean, her life was in a wreck, but she started getting hold of the Word of God. She followed what was in her heart, came out here to Colorado Springs, and I remember we had to make a special exemption for her because she had to take one or two of her children to school, so she couldn't be here at 8 o'clock. She had to come in at like 8:15 or 8:30 after she had dropped her kids off. And when she first came, she was struggling financially. And I prayed with her many times. We helped her some with finances. And she graduated 3 or 4 years ago. And I just saw her a few weeks ago at one of our school functions. She showed up and I asked how she's doing. And man, her family is doing great. She has become a very successful businesswoman, is making lots of money. I mean, prosperous. Just, it is amazing. And she is channeling a lot of that money back into the school and helping other people who are having financial problems, and she's supporting them, and she's giving, and she's doing these things. And she was just glowing, talking about how her life is so awesome. Now, see, just like many other people who God spoke to make a step and do something, I believe that God has probably spoken to them in the Spirit, but then they let their mind dominate and control and keep them from doing what God told them to do. But then there's examples just like this woman I was telling you about, Sandy, who came and she followed God and everything has worked out. You're going to find that this conflict goes on in people constantly. There is a wisdom that is from God, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And there are so many people who will not follow their spirit. They're following their head. There are many of you watching this program right now that in your spirit, in your heart, you have desires. God has led you. God has spoken things to you, but your brain is in the way. You're trying to figure it all out. You're trying to see how you're going to make all of this happen. And you aren't following what God has put in your heart. I'm telling you, if you are going to learn how to follow God's will, you're going to have to get beyond your brain. I'm not talking about turning it off. You do have to use your mind. You do have to think. God gave you a mind to use. It's not just for a hat rack. You need to use it, but you need to let your spirit man trump and dominate. And if there comes a conflict between what you know God has done in your heart and what you are seeing with your mind and what your natural wisdom thinks, always let the Spirit of God dominate. That's what these are talking about. How do you do that? Let me go back again to this verse where Paul said in verse 7, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Now, remember that this is the Apostle Paul speaking. This is in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's a letter that he wrote to a group of people that he had brought the gospel to. Remember that men are the ones who put the chapter and verse divisions in here. There's nothing wrong with that. We use it for reference. I use it all of the time. But you can't think that because he goes on to a different chapter that it's a different subject and that they're unrelated. This 1 Corinthians is written by the same man. It is not broken up into different thoughts and things. It's all one letter. And in this same letter, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says in verse 1, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now, this is going to be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be emphasizing the gift of speaking in tongues. And in verse 2, it says that when you speak in an unknown tongue, in the Spirit, you are speaking mysteries. Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. And he talks about how that this wisdom is so superior to just natural wisdom. And so here's the same writer in the same book using the same terminology, and he says that when you are speaking in tongues, you are speaking the wisdom of God in mysteries. How did Paul get this wisdom? How did Paul come up with a revelation that allowed him to write half of the New Testament? He had such a revelation of God that even people who walked and talked and were with God 24/7 during the ministry of Jesus, Peter, for example, said that our beloved brother Paul says these things, which there are some things that he says that are hard to be understood. Here's Peter, who was with Jesus 24/7 for 3.5 years, and he didn't have the revelation of the grace of God that Paul had. And yet Peter goes on to say, but those who are unlearned and unstable wrestle Paul's writings as they do other scriptures. The Apostle Peter called Paul's writing scripture. He put it equivalent with scripture. The Apostle Peter, even though it was hard for him to grab, he recognized the power and the authority. How did Paul, this man who did not spend 24/7 with Jesus for 3.5 years, who didn't know Jesus during this physical ministry here on the earth, he was antagonistic. He was on the other side. He was not a follower of Jesus. He converted to being a follower of Jesus after Jesus was resurrected. And he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. He saw this blinding light. But he didn't know him in the natural. And yet, this man who did not have the benefit of knowing Jesus in the natural and listening to his teaching and seeing him heal all of these people, this man who, according to carnal wisdom, you would think he had a lot of things going against him. How did he get a revelation of God that trumped and was superior to the revelation that the people who were with Jesus had? So much so that he wrote half of the New Testament and he turned the world right side up. This man didn't do it through the natural realm. He did it through the Spirit. That's what he's saying over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It wasn't just natural teaching. It wasn't these natural things. It was the anointing of God. It was the power of God. He says, I am speaking the hidden wisdom of God in a mystery. And as he continues writing in this same book, he uses the same terminology that when I am speaking in an unknown tongue, I am speaking mysteries in the Spirit. So put all of this together and you know what this means? That speaking in tongues is taking the wisdom that is in your spirit, this supernatural wisdom that supersedes natural wisdom, and speaking in tongues is drawing out this wisdom of God. And when you are speaking in tongues, you are speaking forth this hidden wisdom of God. And if you will allow it, the rest of this week, I'm going to be teaching and showing you things about how you can let this power that you are speaking forth when you're speaking in tongues begin to start influencing and changing the way you think. And it will open you up to spiritual things. I'm going to share that more in detail as we go through this week, so you don't want to miss any of that. But I'm just making this point right here that the Apostle Paul, by his own writings, his own terminology, is saying that speaking in tongues is releasing this hidden wisdom of God. And we've got this conflict between our own way of thinking and God's way of thinking. They're just constantly butting heads. How do you get God's way of thinking? How do you get to where you aren't leaning under your own understanding? It is one way, not the only way, but one of the ways that you do that is through speaking in tongues. And I'm aware that there are people all around the world that you thought speaking in tongues, some people think that it's of the devil. There are other people that are kind of neutral towards it and think, well, if you do it, do it. It's for you, but it's not for me. So there are people that are not passionate about it. And then there's even people who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, but they haven't understood some of the benefits of speaking in tongues. And so because of it, they may speak in tongues when they first receive it. If they get very excited, they may just let out one phrase, kind of, you know, like an escape valve to let off a little bit of steam or something. But most people do not use speaking in tongues on a consistent basis. They don't understand the benefit of it, and therefore they aren't allowing this wisdom that is in your spirit, the mind of Christ that is in your spirit. You aren't giving it freedom, an opportunity to dominate and control. But if you understand this properly, and I'm going to go into a lot more detail the rest of this week explaining speaking in tongues. If you understand it properly, it's one of the ways to take this wisdom that God has deposited on the inside of you. And it's like having a well. You know, you could have this life-giving water at the bottom of that well, and yet you could die of thirst if you can't get it out. How do you get this wisdom, the mind of Christ that God has deposited on the inside of you? How do you get it out? Well, one of the ways is just like sticking a bucket in a well, and you draw that water out. When you speak in tongues, it's like sticking a bucket down into this spirit part of you that has the wisdom of God, and you start drawing it out into the physical realm. And I tell you, it is powerful. It is one of the most powerful things you can do. It's not the only thing, but it is a very powerful gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is precisely the reason that so many people have been taught that speaking in tongues is of the devil. There are people, I'm sure, all around the world that just turn my program off because I mention it. And there's a lot of people who have this gift of speaking in tongues who won't speak about it because they're aware that there's been so much teaching and rejection and resistance towards it. And so they just avoid this. But I'm telling you, this changed my life. Speaking in tongues changed my life. If I didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, you'd have never seen me on television. You would have never heard a testimony about my son being raised from the dead. I wouldn't have the revelation knowledge of the Word of God that I've got, because this is one of the ways that I've gotten this revelation is by speaking in tongues and asking God to show me this wisdom that I'm speaking out of my mouth when I'm speaking in tongues. Show me what I'm saying. Give me revelation. And through this, the Holy Spirit has brought out this wisdom of God, and God has shown me lots of things. I'm just testifying to you that this is important. There are many of you who watch this program that do not speak in tongues. Excuse me. And you may have even thought that speaking in tongues is not God or not from God. And yet you like the fruit that you see in my life. You would like to say that you've seen people raised from the dead and blind eyes open and deaf ears open. You would like to see God supply your needs. You like the fruit that is produced. But when I tell you what the root is, all of a sudden you're willing to reject the whole thing. You know what? If you like the fruit, I'm telling you that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is the root of what has produced these things in my life. And it would benefit you greatly to receive the same thing. I'm out of time today, but we are going to continue this all week. So listen into my program tomorrow. And also listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can receive this teaching on how to follow God's will.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Follow God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD titled The Wisdom of God in a Mystery, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting, September 12th through the 17th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th. He'll also be in Buxton, Derbyshire, in England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 11th through the 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
There's more than just classroom activity at Caris Bible College. Students at CBC participate in hands-on ministry, like corresponding with prison inmates who want to learn more about relationship with God.
We're required to minister to other people, to basically give out what's been put in us.
And we just have many hungry prisoners that want to learn the Word of God.
It's a volunteer program, and I volunteer and write letters to prisoners.
It's really touched me because everyone needs to know what Christ has done for them and how that changes their life.
This ministry is changing lives every day.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Caris Bible College graduates are changing the world. CBC graduate Leland Shores III moved to Uganda, where he met his wife, Carol, and immediately began teaching the Word of God, establishing Caris Bible College Uganda and helping spread the gospel truth in this predominantly Christian nation. CBC Uganda is in its first year and is already having a huge impact on this growing harvest field. Invest yourself in Caris Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today.